This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to yet another edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown, and I get to share another phenomenal story with you today. I am a huge fan of these stories. They fire me up when I don't feel like going out to train. It's these things that really get me going. And today I get to share a story of someone who I've sort of followed their career as an age grouper for a while now. It's a fellow South African who, funnily enough, doesn't live in South Africa. They live in the Netherlands. As you'll hear on today's podcast, she's moved around a fair bit. Tracy Markram joins us. So to all my fellow South Africans, I think a lot of them will know Tracy just from the local racing scene over the years. And it was great to touch base with Tracy and find out how things have gone in her triathlon career over the last few years in the build-up to her maiden and her debut appearance on the Big Island. We'll chat all about that in today's podcast. A massive thank you to our sponsor of this episode of the Kona Edge. It's brought to you by Health IQ, and I've been getting some pretty incredible feedback from some of our listeners who have gone through the process. If you haven't checked them out yet, I really would suggest you do. According to a study that was done by Lee et al. That was published in the Journal of American College of Cardiology back in 2014, runners have a 30% lower risk of all-cause mortality and a 45% lower risk of death from heart disease. So why, as an athlete yourself, shouldn't you get rewarded for that? Well, historically, you know what it's like with life insurance companies. You get penalized for your family history, for BMI and other attributes, but you don't necessarily get rewarded for your healthy lifestyle, correct? Well, that's changing. The good news is now you can get rewarded. Health IQ have special rates for athletes just like you, and you can qualify through their Health IQ or other lifestyle quizzes like their cycling IQ or running IQ. And what I think is really cool is you can get additional savings by submitting actual data. So if you're doing a race, you can submit that data, or you hook it up to your Strava or Runkeeper or your app data, whether it's through your Garmin, whatever device you're using, and you get rewarded for that. I think that is brilliant. And you know, as a driver with your short-term motor insurance, if you're a good driver, you get rewarded. Well, Health IQ have a unique mortality model on the health conscious and therefore have lower rates for health conscious people. It's win-win all around. You've got absolutely nothing to lose. If you have life insurance and you think you're paying too much, really check them out. The URL to go to is healthiq.com/Kona. Let's be honest, it is a grudge purchase. It is something we all need. Let's see if we can save you some money. If you don't have life insurance, you know what? I hate to be the one to tell you, you need to get it. So go check it out. That's healthiq.com/Kona. By checking them out, you're supporting the show, you're helping us keep things going. Alternatively, what you can do as well is simply text the word Health IQ. That's all one word, Health IQ, to 44222, and I'll send you all the details. That URL once again is healthiq.com/Kona. Well, we head to Amsterdam in the Netherlands now to welcome our next guest onto the podcast, Tracy Markram. Tracy, welcome onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brad. Really, really great to be here.
Tracy, I interviewed you many, many years ago. I used to host another triathlon podcast called Tri Talk SA, which is unfortunately no longer since we've started the Kona Edge. And lots has happened since that chat. You've qualified and raced in your first Ironman World Championships on the Big Island. It's a short while afterwards. How's the body holding up? Are you ready for the next one?
Yeah, I think I am. I didn't think I would be. On that run at Kona, I said to myself, never again. This was a horrible idea. And hey, it's been 2 weeks and already I'm thinking, okay, so when am I going back?
I love it. I absolutely love it. And the heat on the Big Island is crazy. I remember I spent a bit of time as an exchange student in the southeast of the United States many years ago. And everyone used to say to me, oh, it's the middle of summer. You must love this heat. You're from Africa. You've spent lots of time in South Africa. It's totally different, isn't it?
It's a completely different heat. And that was actually, I think, one of the biggest learnings I had on the island is how to manage the heat. You go into the race thinking, so it might darling Gareth used to stick me into our laundry room, and he would put wet towels in the tumble dryer, turn it on and put the heater on. And that's, he said, I'll go and ride in that because that's what Kona's like. So I did that as part of my preparation. But what we learned now is it's not just the heat you have to get used to. It's not just the humidity. It's how on earth are you going to eat when you're in that heat? Because your body goes haywire.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, I've never been. I want to go next year. That's the plan. But, gee, I've just heard horror stories, and you're confirming it. Maybe I just want to go and watch. I don't think I want to race on the Big Island. But as far as your journey into the sport, Tracy, you've been around the sport for a while now. You're not an out-and-out newbie, but you're still finding your way. I mean, I think it's 5 years that you've been racing, and there's still lots to learn.
So much to learn. I think I learned something new every training session, let alone every race. Fell into the sport by accident, and 5 years later, still going. I love it even more every day.
Tell me about this accident. How did it start?
Well, it was actually an actual accident. I was never really a sports person. I swam at school and did a bit here and there. I was very passionate about water polo. But when I finished school, that having swum twice a day, every day for your entire school career, you hate the swimming pool. You think that's it, I'm done. So I sort of stopped doing any form of concentrated or focused sport when I left school. But my dad was a really passionate cyclist. So he said, well, why don't you come and let's do the Argus together? I said, no, I'm not really interested in the cycling. Then, accident number one, my dad got bumped over by a car, not seriously, but enough that he was worried about doing the Argus. So he said, I really need you. Okay, Dad, I'm coming. Can we do the Argus on a tandem so that I've got some support? And that was in 2008. And I did my first Argus and I loved it. The cycling bug completely bit. So I bought my first bicycle and I took part in a few races. And then I did my first Argus by myself. And I was in an accident going up Chapman's Peak. There was a big concertina and we crashed and I broke my wrist. And aside from breaking my wrist, I lost my confidence in cycling in a pack, but still hadn't lost the passion for cycling. So my dad suggested in 2011, Trace, why don't you try triathlon? Because you can still cycle, but there's those rules. There's no drafting, so you can feel safe. And I did. So I signed up for Ironman 70.3 South Africa in 2012. And I took part in the race and I accidentally ended up qualifying for 70.3 Worlds. And that was the start. So got a coach, went and did it. Was a dismal effort at the race. Again, hot, learned a lot of lessons, clearly not enough. And here I am now.
Tracy, it's interesting you say that dismal effort at the race. So often is the case where athletes, and I mean, I asked you this before we started recording, because my memory, I've got a mind like a goldfish, and I thought you were racing pro because you were always up at the front of the field, and you told me you've always been an age grouper, which I'm pretty impressed at. But that's probably one of the biggest things too, is you might be good in your region or the city you live in, but as soon as you get onto a world stage like a Kona, or if you end up at 70.3 Worlds, it must be such an eye-opener.
A complete eye-opener. So Vegas as well, learned a lot there about preparation. We went the week before, hired a Mustang and drove around the States because it was my first trip.
As one
not
does.
preparation. but there as well, the heat. And it was my second ever 70.3, so I wasn't really mentally prepared for what I was going to face. The first one had been just for fun. I had no expectations. So that was a learning. But then when we moved to Europe in 2014, we were based in London for a bit and started racing in the European circuit, it's exactly what the biggest wake-up call. The girls here, damn, they know how to ride a bike. They've had lots more opportunity than coming from South Africa to race more frequently. The triathlon scene here, there's races every weekend. So the girls are strong. They've got a lot of experience. And yeah, it was a real eye-opener.
Yeah, you want to feel intimidated and feel inadequate, go do an Ironman in Europe. I did Ironman Zurich a couple of years ago, and I felt like Miss Piggy at a Weight Watchers convention. I've never seen so many racing snakes in my life. And you know what it's like in South Africa, there's lots of big guys and girls that get into the sport, and there's lots of us that hang out at the back. I was on my own most of the day. I thought either I was leading the race or I was lost, if I have to be honest. But it was a great experience. Tracy, when did... I'm interested that the first one you signed up for was the 70.3. You obviously like the longer stuff.
Yeah, definitely built for the longer stuff. I think those slow twitch muscles were never quite developed at school. As I said, I did a bit of swimming and never run in my life. Started running when I signed up for 70.3. And the cycling, more of the endurance is what my body seems kitted out for. Yeah, it likes to go long.
what do you love about the sport?
Everything. Absolutely everything. Not the racing while I'm racing, I'm not going to lie. That's sometimes not so lovable. But I think the real thing I love about it is the passion from the people in the sport. When I moved to London, I had no friends. I knew no one. And you're on your own. And I actually took a bit of a 6-month sabbatical from work. So I wasn't really meeting people. And I went out on a cycle one day, my first one, with my Google Maps on, because I had no idea where I was going, got lost, had managed to cycle about 15 minutes and had no clue where I was. And I saw guys on TT bikes next to me. And I said, I'm a bit lost. Do you mind if I just cycle with you for a bit? And those guys have turned out to be my closest friends. We're still friends. They ended up being three South Africans, actually. I don't know how I managed to do that in the middle of London. But that side of the sport, the way you can, the passion of the people, how you click with them automatically, and the how they welcome you into their community is one of the greatest things about the sport.
Absolutely. As far as making the step up from half to full, you took some time to do that. You didn't go straight in. What was the reasoning behind that? Was it a fear thing? Was it a time thing? Tell me why you didn't go straight into the full.
It was my husband. He said to me, Ironman is not a joke, which it's not. And if you're going to do it properly, and your body needs to get used to it. So jumping straight into the sport, I thought, you know, I could probably go and do a race. Why not? But if I want to do it properly, which is my nature, I like to race. I'm very competitive. Then let's not do it so you get injured or put yourself off, or because it is mentally, the race is hard and you don't want to go there and make it even harder for yourself. So go in there as best prepared as possible. So when I said in 2020, literally I finished East London and I said, right, I'm doing a full. This was amazing. Everyone's like, no, Tracy, you need to take some time. So I had a discussion with my coach, Diana, and with Gareth, and we said, right, Tracy, 5-year plan. 5 years, do an Ironman, qualify for Kona, and we stuck to that plan. It was the best decision we made.
Tell me about the qualification. That's, we've got a vast range of people who listen to this podcast, and there's some that really struggle. You went first time, thanks for coming, I'll punch my ticket. Tell me how that happened.
Again, I think it was the build-up. We went and we focused on training for 5 years to make sure I was as prepared as possible. We spent a lot of time before the race thinking about nutrition, making sure we were doing all the other steps that often get forgotten about. And then also I picked a race that I was suited for. I'm a climber, quite light. I like the cold, which is surprising coming from Africa, but I race better in the cold. And I don't mind the wind and the rain. They don't affect me mentally when I'm racing. So Wales, hilly, cold, rainy, windy, seemed like a perfect choice. So, I think it was a combination of things, but mainly the thought behind how we were actually going to do it rather than just jumping in.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I'm no expert, but that's one thing I'm picking up is you have to be patient. And even though you only did one Ironman and you qualified for that, like you say, it took 5 years to become an overnight success, essentially.
Absolutely. Patience is key. Patience, it translates into trying to qualify for a race. It translates into building your season. It translates into every aspect of full distance racing.
And as far as sort of dialing everything in, you mentioned the nutrition. What were some of the other things that you worked on in order to know you were ready, and when you gave it a shot, you were going to give it your best shot and have the best chance of qualifying?
So the other thing I focus on, and I'm thankful again for Gareth's support in that regard, is getting a little more technical about the racing. The first thing we did when we thought about racing long distance was invest in a power meter. The biking is probably where I'm weakest as well. So spending some time analyzing the numbers, looking at where we could improve on the bike, that was quite key. I think the nutrition side, yeah, that was, I must say, on my day-to-day eating, probably not the best nutrition-wise. I pretty much eat everything in sight. But focusing on race day nutrition and trying lots of things until finding that right, what works for me race-wise, that was something we put a lot of focus on as well. So I think those are the two things, okay. Making sure we're getting the data, because what Gareth always says, what you don't know, you can't improve. So the data and the eating.
Absolutely. As far as biggest lesson you've learned in this whole journey, what would you say it is?
The biggest lesson I've learned, expect the unexpected. I think that is it. It was, again, I'm very, structured in things and very competitive. So go there thinking, right, this is my race plan. This is what I'm going to do. This is exactly how it's going to go to plan. And it doesn't always go to plan. And you've got to roll with the punches. Expect things to change. Expect there to be a challenge you have to solve on the fly, and be prepared to do that.
And I guess that's also probably one of the things with an Ironman. The longer a race gets, the more chances of things going wrong sort of pop up. And it's important to have a plan B and a plan C and a plan D just in case plan A doesn't work out. What's your plan B?
Calm down. I'm a bit of a flapper. So before the race, I literally spend an hour lying on the couch, not deciding what I'm going to do when it goes wrong, but deciding what I'm going to tell myself when it goes wrong. So I now know how to change a tire, but I wasn't very good at it at the start. So I would actually have to spend time when it happened to think, Tracy, you know how to do this. It's just a couple of minutes. Breathe, think about the steps, and execute, rather than try and get the wheel off, things throwing all over the place, panic, mad panic, and you end up wasting more time. So spend time telling yourself what you're going to do when, not if, things go wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. They definitely do. Tracy, as far as going, if you had to start again, knowing what you know now, would you change anything? Would you have done things exactly the same? What's your feeling on it now that you've qualified and you've raced?
So would I have changed everything for build up to Kona, or changed everything in how I've approached triathlon?
Or anything, like anything, approach to triathlon, anything in the build up to Kona or your first Ironman?
Yeah. So personally, again, A-type over here, I think the one thing I would have done earlier on, maybe not, you know, in the 6 months building up to the race, but earlier on, don't take things so seriously. Yes, you need to stay focused. Yes, you need to stick to the plan, but life also happens, and not to get too worked up and too disappointed or frazzled when things don't stick 100% to the plan. It's okay. Life goes on. Keep the focus on loving the sport and doing it because you enjoy it, not getting stuck in the day-to-day ticking off the training boxes.
And that's such a danger, Tracy, particularly for type A personalities. And the more I do this, the more I realize that I think patience is one thing you need. You need consistency, and you have to be a type A personality if you want to qualify for the big dance. But it's easy to burn yourself out in that situation where you talk about loving the sport. And I think that's what's really refreshing about you, is you've been doing it for 5 years and you probably love the sport more now than when you started. And how do you keep that freshness? Because sometimes you have to switch off, and type A personalities struggle with that. How do you switch off and keep yourself fresh that you still love the sport?
I have to say that it's something that I'm still working on. I have had two complete meltdowns in the build-up to Kona, saying, I'm done. This is not fun anymore. And being able to actually, I just took a break. I said, right, I'm just switching off I planned 2 weeks, but I was actually okay after a week. I'm just switching off. I'm just going to do what I think is fun. I'm going to walk my dog. I'm going to go paddle on the surf ski. I'm just going to do something completely different and recenter on why I started this journey in the first place, and started writing things down as to why I'm actually doing this, and having a look at that, thinking, well, why have I started? Realizing life still goes on. Having a glass of red wine every now and again definitely helped. But again, the constantly going back to the reminder, why are we doing this in the first place, really helped me.
Yeah, and as a fit triathlete, it's only one glass. That's all you need, I think.
But a big one.
Tracy, as far as I'm interested in those meltdowns, what brought it on? What were the triggers looking back now?
Yeah, so the triggers was complete overload. From one of the meltdowns happened when we moved to the Netherlands. Adding in changing jobs, moving countries, trying to still qualify for Ironman, fitting in your training when you can't find a gym because you don't know what to search for because it's another language. You know, there's just the combination of everything being too much led on most of the meltdowns. I like training. I don't mind long sessions. I like sitting on my indoor trainer for 4 hours. It doesn't bother me. So it's not the being scared, because I think a lot of people can be overwhelmed by the volume of training and give up. Volume doesn't bother me. It's when you're juggling 50,000 balls and the balls start dropping. That's when things start going haywire.
I think that's also one of the big struggles that I get asked a lot from age groupers is how to get that juggle right. And you married, you've got a full-time job as well. How do you handle the aspects of life outside of triathlon when you're training for a big race like Kona?
as Gareth will tell anyone, I'm a planner. So I like a plan. My diary is very structured. That's the only way I can do it. I make lists. I make plans. I like to know what's going to happen in the week. And that was actually something I learned in my journey, reading blogs and articles and listening to podcasts such as yours, were little tips that people had given to how they manage. And the one tip was in your diary at work, if mine is jammed, put your run in. Put it in there and don't move it. That is your runtime, and you have planned your whole day because you're going to work late hours anyway. You have planned your whole day for this run and stick to it. And if a meeting pops up, say, sorry, I'm busy. Unless it's your boss and it's critical. I understand that. But in general, put it in your diary and stick to it. And that was really helpful. So my diary is full of do the groceries, go to this work meeting, do this training. And I try to stick to it as much as I can. And as I've learned, roll with the punches when they come up.
Yeah, and that's such great advice, Tracy. I remember when I first started on my journey as well, I was also working crazy hours, and I knew that if I didn't schedule it in, it wasn't going to get done. It's almost like that. Exactly. If you don't track the numbers, you can't improve because you don't know what you're trying to improve. And that is just such great advice. It sounds so simple, and I think people are often scared to live in a sort of life like that where everything's planned out to the hour. But it's the only way to do it, because it's easy to get sucked into a YouTube rabbit hole or on Facebook. And before you know it, you've wasted an hour or two, and that could have been a good training session. So it is critical. And I agree with you. In the diary, otherwise it doesn't happen.
And also to remember, yes, it's not, you can sometimes feel a little bit like my life isn't really fun anymore because I'm living it in such a structured way. I know a lot of people feel that way, but knowing that you've got a goal, that's really exciting. And that this is all helping me get to the goal. So keep focused on the long term rather than the short term to keep yourself excited and motivated.
How important are those goals to you to keep, as you say, motivated and training? I know you've signed up for a couple of races, not triathlons, since Kona. What's on the sort of near horizon for you?
So, like I said, my biking is not really great at the moment. So my plan for next year is to put a lot of emphasis on my cycling. So to start it off, I signed up for something fun. It's the Tour of Flanders for next year. Not pro race, obviously, but the age group version. So we'll be putting my mind to getting ready for that. And then also I'm enjoying running. My goal is to get as close to 3 hours as possible next year. So I've signed up for a couple of marathons. Chicago is one of them. I got an entry for that, which is great. And then signed up for the lottery for Berlin. And then there's a, also to keep things interesting and to do something fun with Gareth, we're going to go do a trail run out in Germany in the middle of the year. Just, yeah, well, the fun part.
Absolutely. It's, and then as far as triathlon, what do you still want to achieve in your career? I mean, when you're old and grey one day and you've outlived everyone in your age group and you're world champion, what would you have hoped to have achieved?
So on a personal level, I'm looking forward to going back to Kona and doing better. I've got a book of lessons that I've learnt and things that I would like to do better. So I do want to go back one day. And then I do hope, though, if I look back from up there in the clouds one day, that I've inspired some people to give triathlon a go. I think it's an incredible sport, and I believe it changes people's lives. And I have been so inspired by people's journeys that I hope mine can do the same.
Who do you look up to in the sport at the moment?
If I have to be 100% honest, I don't have a particular idol in the sport at all. But when I was on Kona now, I had an opportunity to speak to Rennie Carfrae, and to Daniela Reef. And they are both incredibly inspirational ladies. What I like most about, and this particularly stood out with Rennie, is how she's so down to earth. and I love that, and I hope I can be like that. It's a sport, they're exceptional in the sport, but they are down to earth, wonderful people, and I find that really inspiring and encouraging, and a reminder everyone's just a normal person doing what they love.
And I think that's such a great ad for the sport as well. You talk about how great the people are. There's some superstars in this sport, but they're so approachable. That's been my experience. It's just, yeah, I mean, they as you say, normal guys and girls. They do everything that we do. They train as hard as we do, probably harder. But, yeah, they love the fact that they can get paid to do something they love doing, and they're just also generous and want to give back to the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. No sport like triathlon.
Let's talk those lessons, that things you want to change if you go back to the Big Island. What are some of the things that you, looking back now, that you wish you could do over now that you know what you're in for?
So I'm really happy to say that there isn't probably very much I'd like to change about the swim. It was the best swim of my life. I did have to stay focused to not swim with the turtles, but to stay on track with where I was going in the race, because that is like no other thing you've experienced in life. So swim I was really happy about. I would like to change it, but it's not in my power. Swimming, well, starting behind the men and having to swim through all those men on the age group race, that's a serious disadvantage for the women. So it's a logistical nightmare. I have no solution to it, but it was tough. So personally, probably not much I would change on the swim. On the bike, lessons learnt was heavily nutrition. I had focused on liquid nutrition, but when I get to racing, I do also like to eat something solid. It's more of a mental thing, just to remind myself I'm eating. That doesn't work at Kona. For me, it'll have to be next time 100% liquid nutrition. The staying cool as well, I think I did quite well. I had to stop at Harvey and fill myself up with ice to carry on going. Started getting quite a headache, but I also think that was because I was struggling to eat the solids that I planned to eat. So nutrition was the biggest learning on the bike. On the run, I approached the run as a run to, at this again, this was one of the problems I had to solve. By the time I got to the run, I didn't know how I was going to do it. So in transition, I made the decision to run to the aid stations and walk the aid stations. By the time I got to kilometer 18, that plan fell apart and there was a lot more walking and a lot less running. I think I don't have the solution yet, but I need to think about the run and how to approach it after the Kona bike a little bit better, because it's not a normal bike run at any Ironman or triathlon. There's something special, something happening over there, and I probably need to figure out what that is and change it for next time.
Obviously, those are things that you can change. The swim, as you mentioned, not so much. There is a solution to that problem, though, and they need to do it the way they do the 70.3 worlds, is have separate days for the men's and ladies races. I think it would be amazing to be able to track the ladies as well as they track the men on the live feed, and I think that's the only solution. You could then, and I know it's a money making thing for Ironman as a corporation, you can get more athletes on the Big Island then. So it's win-win for everyone, I think, which is I think that would be brilliant.
It would be nice to have a fairer, that's a word, race for the women, because it is tough. The one thing I do have to say, though, which was one of the things I was really worried about going into Kona, was the pelotons, and the people saying that that's not a really fair race. So I could see when the men start coming back and the women are still going out, how the men get stuck in the peloton. But I do have to say for the women, and it's maybe because we are an hour back, the pelotons weren't as much of an issue. I had a lot of free road, which was really great. So if you're nervous about the pelotons, they're not such an issue if you're listening to this. But having those separate days would give us a fair advantage on the swim, really make things spread out on the bike. And the run may be a little lonely though, unless they really stack a lot of people on the day. But yeah, I think you're right. It would solve a lot of challenges.
Absolutely. Tracy, before we wrap things up, you've mentioned about some of the other races that you've got planned, some cycling races and running races. When's your next Ironman? Have you not thought too much about that?
I haven't thought too much about the full distance next one I want to sign up for. Again, I need to think and plan, write it down. But my dad, who's also got into the sport since I got into the sport, he's quite keen to take on 70.3 Barcelona. So we may put that on the plan for next year, a good father-daughter experience. But as to the full, need to do some thinking.
Brilliant. Tracy Markham, it's been great catching up. Thanks for your time today on the Kona Edge.
Thank you very much, Brad. It's been great.
Today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by Doug Guthrie Personal Training. Doug has a passion for seeing people improve and succeed. A 14 times Ironman finisher, two of those on the Big Island, a USA T-Level 1 certified coach, head coach of the YMCA tri-team, Doug has the unique ability to meet athletes wherever they are in their journey. His motivation comes from helping athletes improve and meet their goals at any skill level. As a self-coach, two times Kona qualifier and finisher, Doug's experience places him in the shoes of those training for their first sprint, to those who need to know what has to be adjusted in their plan to get them to the next level in order to qualify for the World Championships. Discover more about Doug, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching, and don't forget, if you're a coach or if you have a coaching business and would like to get a plug on the podcast, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. And that's a wrap for this edition of The Kona Edge. Before I go, we've got another 5-star iTunes review, and I spoke yesterday about those iTunes reviews, and we've had over 300 around the world. I read all of them, and we've got one in the last 48 hours from Kevin Runs on IPA in the United States, giving us 5 stars in great podcast. Useful information for all triathletes presented in short, manageable segments. I like how they break down the interviews into separate swim, bike, run, and nutrition episodes. Most episodes are right around 10 minutes, and a new one comes out every day or two. So there you go. Kevin Runs on IPA. Thank you very much for that, sir. Much appreciated. If you haven't left us a review yet, please do. I'll give you a shout-out on the show. I'll also leave your Twitter handle or Instagram handle so I can give you a shout-out on the socials as well. And what those do is they just help us get in front of more triathletes just like you. I also mentioned some of the numbers on how we've grown. And I think in the next year, one of the ways that we're going to need to grow is if you help me grow this podcast. If you get any value out of this, if you hear a podcast and you think of someone who's in your training squad or someone that you race against, you think that they'd get something out of it, please, I'd love it if you'd share it. Just copy the link, pop it onto social media, or pop it into an email, a WhatsApp message, whatever it is. So that really helps us grow the podcast as well. And I'll be sending you virtual high fives if you wouldn't mind doing that for me. And speaking of virtual high fives, a massive virtual high five for the sponsor of this episode of the Kona Edge. It was brought to you by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health conscious people get special life insurance rates. Simply head over to healthiq.com/Kona to learn more, or simply text Health IQ, that's all one word, to 44222, and I'll send you all the details back. That's healthiq.com/Kona. Head over to that URL right now, get yourself an obligation-free quote, and I'm pretty sure we'll be able to save you some money. Go check it out. That's healthiq.com/Kona. Until tomorrow, from myself, Brad Brown, it's cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for The Kona Edge.